This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan. Me and my 88. Me and my 88 friends.
We want to welcome you to the show today. The name of the show is Me and My 88 Friends. And my name is Lawrence Tuning, the host. This show is dedicated to music and storytelling from my life of following the Lord for many years. I began writing songs when I was 20 years old after praying that the Lord give me that gift, which I didn't have. I made the Lord a promise that if He would give me the gift of writing songs, I would write about Him or His truth for the rest of my life. And He gave me my first song about a week later, and we have been doing this together, me and the Lord, for the last 50 years. So let's just jump right in today and start with a song I wrote in 2013. It's simply called Living in the Shadow.
That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. That used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, just a faint silhouette. One day all our hopes will be fulfilled. Living in the shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. In the shadow of the glory of the Lord.
When I think of the title of that song, Living in the Shadow of the Glory of the Lord, what that denotes to me when I think about it is that there are many things that we won't really receive or enjoy until we are in the actual glory of the Lord when we go to heaven to be with Christ. I wish I could say that if you follow the Lord, you'd never have any disappointments. But anyone who is realistic at all knows that even those who love the Lord still go through trials and tragedies and disappointments. If you remember the story of the two builders, there's one man built a house on the rock, another was foolish and built the house on the sand. The fact of the matter is, both of the houses went through storms. And the difference was the foundation. But they all went through storms. So there are disappointments in this life. And so when I wrote this song, I was thinking about the fact that a lot of what we do is we walk in the shadow. We walk by faith, not by sight. We're weary at times. We have questions at times. We go through trials. So I wrote this song, and the words, I just want to read the words to you here. Living in the shadow of the glory of the Lord, looking forward to what is yet to come. But for now, I have found a peaceful path in the shadow of the glory of the Lord. So this is talking about what is yet to come, which we have not entered into yet. But for now, we can walk a peaceful path, waiting for that great day when we receive everything that is promised. Second verse says, I've chosen to abandon the ambitions of the past in pursuit of things that quickly fade. I have traded them all for a peaceful path. And the older I get, the more I appreciate the aspect of the Holy Spirit. And that is peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. There's a verse in Romans that says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Jesus called it the peace that passes all understanding. The bridge of the song said, things that used to matter have somehow lost their charm when compared to what shall be revealed. Now we see a shadow, a faint silhouette. One day our hopes will be fulfilled. So we've got hope, and some of the hopes are fulfilled as we walk this earth. Some of them are delayed, and we will spend eternity in the glory of the Lord. But we still can walk in the shadow. We still can walk knowing He is there along a peaceful path. Even when their storms are raging, we can have peace. And I'm thankful for that. This album that I did, we entitled it Living in the Shadow. And we released it in 2018. But I want to read the dedication of this album. Because today I'm thinking of many of you out there who are pastors and missionaries trying to do the will of God, but you're unnoticed, you're probably underappreciated, and maybe you even question your effectiveness. So I wrote this to you, my liner notes. This album is dedicated to unsung heroes and unknown soldiers in the service of the Lord who live out their lives in obscurity, trying to simply obey the call and please the one who called them. They will never know the glare of the spotlight, but have chosen to walk in the shadow of a greater glory. They are like the treasure hidden in the field, unnoticed and ignored, but a treasure nonetheless. There will come a moment in time when their reward will become evident to all, and the last will be first. And as they continue to live in their shadow, they discover the immeasurable beauty of the peaceful path on a journey of close fellowship with Jesus. So I want you to remember this. As we do this program, I'm dedicating it to all those people serving the Lord. You're greatly appreciated, although you may not feel that way. You're the salt of the earth, and I'm just so happy to be able to write songs and sing songs to hopefully minister to you. I want to introduce the next song now that was taken from an album I did called The Road Back Home. We did that in, I think, around 2011. This is a duet I did with my friend Frank Bradford, and it's got this wonderful harmonica player on there. It's called If I Didn't Know Jesus.
Jesus, there'd be hell to pay. Ooh, if I didn't know Jesus.
Sing a song by special request. It's called Jesus, You've Been So Real. In the early 70s, we would start a lot of our concerts with this song, just to set the mood. It's an intimate song sung straight to Jesus. Been so real to me. You've been so loving, so kind. You came at just the right time. And sometimes I sit and I wonder, where would I be right now if you didn't come along when you did? And just love me. Been so real to me. You've been so loving, so kind. You came at just the right time. And sometimes I sit and I wonder, tell me, where would I be right now if you didn't come along when you did? I want to thank you for loving me. I know I'll never understand everything there is to know about your love, your mercy on a wretch like me. But Jesus, you've been so real to me, and you've been so loving, so kind. Thank you, you came at just the right time. And sometimes I sit and I wonder, tell me, where would I be right now if you didn't come along when you did? Oh, I want to thank you today for loving me. Loving me. Jesus. Jesus. I want to play a couple of songs from my DVD live concert, which was recorded in the summer of 2004. It's called Live at the Off Center Garage. It was filmed near Muncie, Indiana. The first song is called Feed My Sheep, and this song is devoted to pastors. It tells a story about when I went to see a friend of mine who was a great mentor and encourager in my life, named John K. Summers. John K. pastored the Ovid Community Church near Anderson, Indiana, for a number of years. He was one of the leaders of the spontaneous revival which occurred in Anderson, which I've talked about in previous podcasts. There were 50 days of services, three services a day. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to Christ during those 50 days. And John K. Summers was a great encourager to me when I first started writing songs and first began to travel. And he was a great role model, and still is. Up until just a few years ago, he was still at it, going in and out of Haiti. He lives in Florida now. And he just never quit. He never quit serving the Lord in any way that he could. And I love him dearly. So this song was really about him. After I moved away from Indiana, I moved to Massachusetts for a number of years. But I would still come back to Indiana and visit every year or two. And it just so happened that my friend John Kay asked me to come to another church he was pastoring in Albany, Indiana. And it was wonderful to just go back and see him. He was an old man now. And just to see the way he interacted with the people and the way he shared before he introduced me to sing, it just really touched me to see him. So I went back and I wrote this song called Feed My Sheep. It's about John Kay, but it's really a tribute to all the people who are faithful to the call to preach the word. So let's go to the live concert now, July 2004.
Some bad scars, but it just kept fighting. He never did retire. He never lost the fight. And there he was last night, letting the light in. And late in the night, when he lies down to sleep, he can still hear that voice, tender and sweet. You did not choose me, I chose you. You make me smile when you do what I ask you to do. When you feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And I thought of all the others who preach the word week after week, weary and discouraged, yet they continue to speak. What is it that keeps them going after all their strength is gone? Could it be they still remember that voice they heard when they were young? And late in the night, when they lie down to sleep, they can still hear that voice, tender and sweet. You did not choose me, no, I chose you. You make me smile when you do what I called you to do. When you feed my sheep, feed my sheep, and so they feed his sheep.
Time is short. Hear my plea.
I decided to dedicate this show to those pastors out there, those missionaries out there, those who were working sometimes in obscurity, trying to fulfill the calling on their lives. I know that sometimes we get discouraged. I remember one time I was went to the Boston Marathon when we lived in Massachusetts, and we would go every year to see the runners as they went by. One year we decided to stop at the top of Heartbreak Hill. Heartbreak Hill is, after a series of hills, it's probably the most grueling part of the marathon. If you're going to give up, usually that's the place, it's a good place to jump off. And we were standing there, and we would see all the runners go by, and we could see the pain on their faces. And one runner in front of us stopped. When he got to the top of the hill, he stopped. And you could see the dejection and disappointment on his face. But he decided, I'm through. I can't do it. And he literally walked out of the path where they were running and walked over to the sidewalk where all the people were. And I saw a very amazing thing. This man had quit, but the crowd surrounded him and said, you can't quit now. You're so close. You can do it. We know you're discouraged. You need to get out there. We're behind you. And they began to cheer him and to encourage him and to let him know that we believe in you. We know you can do it. And you could just see encouragement and strength flowing into this man. And he got a big smile on his face. And he ran waving at us, ran on to finish the race. When this happened, several of us who were there began to weep. It was such a moving experience to see a man who had given up, but then because of the encouragement of the people around him, found new hope and new strength and went on and accomplished what he had intended to do. And we thought, the body of Christ has a lot to learn from this experience. Many times when we should be encouraging those who are weak, we tend to leave them alone or criticize. And I want to encourage today those that listen to this to keep running. Run the race. You can do it. There's a verse in the book of Mark that has been life-changing to me. I want to share with you just for a few moments. And this is the story in Mark 14 of the woman who poured expensive perfume over Jesus. The other Gospels seem to identify this lady as Mary, the sister of Martha. And the Bible says here that the woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. And then it says that some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. The other Gospels make it clear that Judas was one of the ones who was rebuking her harshly. And then Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? And on down it says, she did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That one line there has gripped me. She did what she could. Jesus said, quit criticizing her, leave her alone. She did what she could. Now, in those days, she was very limited in what she could do. She was a woman. She was a single woman, evidently. And so there wasn't a lot that she could do, but she wanted to do something. And the thought occurred to her, there's one thing I can do. I can get that expensive perfume and I can pour it over his head. Maybe I can't do a lot, but I can do that. So she went in and broke the perfume over his head. She was criticized for it, but Jesus said, leave her alone. Stop bothering her. She did what she could. And I've had to come to a point in my life more than once where I have to quit worrying about what I'm not able to do, and I need to simply do what I can. We are so numbers-oriented in America especially. We put great credence on those who accomplish and who win. Winning is everything. And yet, as I've studied the Bible, I've come to realize that when Jesus told the story of the talents, you know that story, he gave one man five, he gave another man two, he gave another man one. And the man with the five talents invested and gained five more, which he had ten, he doubled. But the man with two talents was faithful with that two and got double two, he got four. But he only had four, the other man had ten. And yet Jesus said to both of them the same thing. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And this may sound very simple, but it took me many years to understand that it is okay to be a one-talent guy or a two-talent guy. Not everybody has to be a five-talent guy, and there's no shame in being faithful with a few things rather than many things. What am I saying? Not everybody's going to be the pastor of a mega church. Maybe you pastor 30 people. Maybe that's it. But you are not substandard to anyone else. God wants you to be faithful with what you have. He judges success on our faithfulness, not by the numbers. And that's been a great encouragement to me. And there are many stories throughout history of people who were limited and could not do what they really wanted to do. They couldn't be great, famous powerhouses, but they did what they could. There was a man named Welch, and I'm told that he wanted to be a missionary. And he applied to become a missionary, and the missionary board said, you're not qualified. We cannot take you. It may have been a lack of education. I'm not sure what the problem was. But it was very disappointing to him that he couldn't fulfill his dream. What did he do? He thought, well, I can't be a missionary, but I know how to grow grapes. Maybe I'll start a company. And we can name it Welch's Grape Juice. And I will use my money to support missionaries. Maybe I can't go, but I will send money. I can raise money. I will do what I can. And the Lord has taught me to stop worrying about what I can't do, but get my eyes on what little I can. And he will bless it. There's an old song that said, little is much when God is in it. There was another lady in England, and she was bitter toward God because she had a great future ahead of her. I believe she was a concert singer, and she became an invalid. She got a disease that crippled her. And a pastor came to visit her home. She was living, I believe, with her parents, and she expressed her bitterness. And she said to the man, what can I do with my life? I have nothing now. And the pastor said to her, God takes you just as you are. Give him yourself just as you are, and he will use you. And so there came a point where she remembered what that man told her. It kept, just as you are. She sat down and wrote a poem And it said, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. She wrote the song, Just As I Am. And that song went all over the world. There are literally millions of people who have come to Christ while a church or a choir sang that song. Billy Graham used it at all of his crusades. Thousands upon thousands came to the Lord from a poem from a woman who said, I can't do anything. I'm very limited. So if you feel like you're limited, I would say to you, do what you can. I want to sing you a song here at the piano that I wrote after a time of real disappointment in my life. I started writing songs in actually in 1969 is when I first started writing songs. And I was encouraged by many people that the songs had value. And Andre Crouch was one of them who arranged a meeting with the people at his record company. They seemed like they were excited, and I was all excited to get a major recording contract. And then I got a letter that it wasn't going to work out. Later on, the Grammy-winning producer, Gary S. Paxton, showed great interest, and we talked about a 5-year contract to get on a label and make a bunch of records to sell all over the world. And circumstances happened where that didn't work out. And I remember, and there came a moment when it all sort of crashed down on me, this realization that this dream of getting a recording contract with a major label was probably not going to happen. People say, you can reach all of your dreams. That's really not true. I think anybody knows that has a brain. It's not true. You don't reach all of your dreams. Some dreams you don't attain. But the thought hit me that this is the death of a vision, the death of a dream. And so what do you do at that point when it doesn't work out? You can get bitter. You can get jealous. You can have a pity party. Or you can come back to that same principle. Let me do what I can. And that's what I did. I did what I could. And I ended up writing a song based on that experience. And I want to sing it to you now. It's called We Can Bear Some Fruit Right Here.
I just want to hear him say, well done, my faithful one, when at last he shall appear.
right here. We're reaching ones and twos instead of thousands in the world's great concert halls. We're not gospel stars, we're just who we are. What we share is what we know is true. Satellite to televise us daily, far and near. Oh, but I feel that we can bear some fruit right here. And I feel that we can bear some fruit right here. I've done my share. Oh, I just want to hear him say, well done, you're my faithful one, when at last he shall appear. And I feel we can bear some fruit right here. Oh, I feel I've done my share. I just want to hear him say, well done, you're my faithful one, when at last he shall appear. And I feel that we can bear some fruit right here. I feel that we can bear some fruit right here. You've been listening to a show called Me and My 88 Friends. My name is Lawrence Tuning. I've been sharing songs and stories, songs that I've written over the last 50 years. I want to tell you a story before we do our last song. The theme of this podcast today seems to be the joy of being faithful in small things. Not only the joy, but the importance of it. God views it as very important. The old song used to say, little as much when God is in it. I grew up on a cotton farm in South Carolina, went to a rural church. And there was a man who went to our church. His name was Clyde. And he was extremely intellectually delayed. He had the mind, most people thought, of about a 3 or 4 year old child. But he came to church every Sunday. He would stand by the road and catch a ride at church. He lived about 3 or 4 miles from the church. He stayed with relatives. And I remember this man as a kid. He would do two things every Sunday. He would always go to the altar when they gave the invitational song. He would step out of his seat. He would kneel at the altar for a few minutes, and he'd move back to his seat. Most of the people thought he's mimicking what he has seen other people do. Surely he doesn't understand anything. But they sort of humored him. Of course, nobody stopped him from doing it, but he would do that every service, Sunday, Wednesday. He would go to the altar, and he would kneel for a few minutes, go back to his seat. The other thing he would do, always without fail, was when the service was over, he would go from pew to pew and put all the songbooks back in the racks and pick up all the paper. That was his routine. This happened for years. And I remember one night, Sunday night, they were having service. And I believe I was actually playing the organ at the time. This man did the same thing he always did. He went to the altar and knelt. That particular night, there were other people that went to the altar seeking prayer. And my father was a song leader. He noticed that all the other people had friends that came and knelt beside them to pray with them. And my dad just felt convicted that I need to go pray with them. We don't need to just see him go forward and go back every time. So as he told the church to be seated and the organist and pianist kept playing softly, he went down and knelt beside this man, put his hand on his shoulder, and he said, "Clyde, I want to pray for you. What would you like me to pray?" This man's answer was absolutely astounding. It's like what Jesus said about hiding the wisdom from the learned people and giving it to the children. This answer to this man, when my dad asked, "What would you like me to pray for?" He said, "Pray for me that I will do what God wants me to do at any and all times." That was the prayer request. It's profound. Think about it. Pray for me that I will do what God wants me to do at any and all times. And it moved my dad to his very core, and he said, "I will pray that for you, but I need to pray the same thing for me." And they knelt there and prayed, "Lord, help us to do what you want us to do at any and all times." Now, let me say this about Clyde. He was limited in his intellectual development. Maybe all God really ever wanted him to do was to be faithful and go to church and go to that altar and offer himself up every service and do what he could do, and that was to simply pick the papers up, put the hymn books in the racks. Maybe that was all he could do, but he did what he could do. And I believe when that man went to heaven, God looked at him and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I believe he rewarded him based on how faithful he was with that simple task. I thank you for listening to us today. We want to close this podcast today with a song I wrote called "Hand on the Plow." I was trying to write this song, and I'm trying to think what kind of a feel it would have. I made the mistake, I believe, of putting a Fats Domino record on, a CD on, when I went swimming, and I played the whole CD, his greatest hits. When I came out of the pool, I knew we had to do this song, Fats Domino style, but it has a real message to it about faithfulness, what we've been talking about all this last hour. It's called "Hand on the Plow." I've got my hand on the plow, and I'm walking straight. There's a purpose for it all, and a mission to fulfill, and I intend to heed the call and do my Father's will. There are times when I grow weary, I wipe the sweat from my brow. the day is almost over.
My 80 friends.